To quote Thomas Jefferson, a well-informed citizenry is the best defense against tyranny. Welcome to the Constitution Solution, one podcast under God, where we discuss the basics of our constitutional republic and how our freedoms are being seized by public officials, both elected and unelected. I'm Mark DeLuzio, a former candidate for the U.S. Congress and a Gold Star father. Join me as we learn together how we can save this unique experiment that we call America. Hi, Mark DeLuzio for Constitution Solution, one podcast under God. Episode 42. A lot of talk about terrorists today. Right now we're recording this on March 4th, 2025. And, you know, President Trump has made a lot of talk about terrorists. There's a lot of talk about how our tax dollars are being spent. There's a lot of talk about the income tax itself and whether or not we're getting ripped off as a people, which I think we probably would all agree we're overtaxed. And I'm going to go through that as well. But I want to talk about the history of taxation, specifically income tax taxation, the 16th Amendment, dispel some notions about the income tax, because there's a lot of misinformation out there right now. And take you through a little bit of history and lead you through the 16th Amendment and where we are today. Because I think you're going to find that we as a people have been duped. Our founding fathers have put provisions into the U.S. Constitution that have been obliterated by the 16th Amendment. And I want to take you through a little bit of history and then walk you through kind of up to today as to where we are and what I think is going to happen. My prediction anyway with President Trump and what I think he's going to do with the income tax. Okay. So let's start by a little bit of a history. And let's talk about the history of the income tax. Now, this is a little bit of a timeline. We have had an income tax since 1862. Abe Lincoln instituted an income tax to pay for the cost of the Civil War. That was 1862. It didn't just happen with the 16th Amendment. As a matter of fact, I think you could see by this that Congress had the right to tax our income a long time ago. Matter of fact, if you look at Article 1, Section 8 of the Constitution, Congress had the right to tax. It said nothing about income or nothing about, you know, whether or not you could or couldn't tax income. They always had that right. So in 1862, we had the first income tax, okay? And by the way, 2 years later, this thing called the Bureau of Internal Revenue was created to manage all the collection of the taxes and things like that. Now, that was a precursor to the IRS that we know today, that we all love and know today, that started back in 1953. But this tax was repealed by Congress in 1872. Okay. So now we go back to no income tax. Now you ask yourself, well, what exactly were we doing for revenue back then? Prior, you know, besides this 1862 Civil War tax, we were getting our tax revenues from excise taxes and tariffs. So now everybody's decrying tariffs and saying, "Oh my God, tariffs are going to kill the economy. We're going to pay for it and all this stuff." Well, that was our primary revenue all the way up through the late 1800s. Now, in 1894, there was something called the Wilson-Gorman Tariff Act. Now, Wilson is not Woodrow Wilson. That is a congressman. I can't remember where he's from. And Gorman was a senator. They call this the Wilson-Gorman Tariff Act. And in a sense, it wasn't really a much of a tariff act because it lowered tariffs considerably, but introduced the income tax at 2% on all taxable income over $4,000. Now, that's equivalent today to be around roughly $80,000. Okay. So it was quite, you know, $4,000 back then was quite significant. It may not look to you like it was, but it was. If you were making $80,000 back in, 1894, or in this case, $4,000, that was a lot of money. Okay. So this got in, and that technically was the first income tax. Now, this is the thing I want you to understand. This tax in 1895 was ruled unconstitutional by the Supreme Court because it violated the apportionment clause in Article 1, Section 9. I'm going to get to that in a minute and explain what that really means, okay? Moving on, in 1913, the 16th Amendment was passed. Everybody says, oh, that gave Congress the right to tax our income. No. They always had the right to tax our income. American people were duped back then. As a matter of fact, they used the whole notion of, we want the rich to pay their fair share. Everybody today thinks that, you know, fair share is a new term that was just created by the liberals over the last, you know, decade or so. No, they were using that back then and played class warfare with the American people, duping them into the fact that rich people weren't paying their fair share of taxes. Most people, most Americans back in 1913 supported the 16th Amendment. Can you imagine that? Can you imagine that? They supported it. But there's something that was really sneaky about the 16th Amendment, and I'm going to show this to you in a minute. It eliminated what's called the apportionment clause in the Constitution. And I will get into all of that and what it means. And I will explain to you how that absolutely took away the rights of the states per the Founding Fathers' framework of our country. Okay. And just as a note, the official Internal Revenue Service was created by President Truman in 1953. So that's the second bomb he dropped. He dropped the bombs in Japan and he dropped the bomb on us here too. Okay. So I just thought I'd throw that in as a little bit of color commentary. But that's the history. So what's the takeaway here? The takeaway is that Congress always had the right to tax our income. From the minute that Constitution was signed, they always did. They just didn't do it that way. Okay. And again, most of our taxes prior to, you know, the late 1800s were coming from tariffs and excise taxes. Keep that in mind, because I'm going to ask you a question at the end of this to see what you think. Okay, so let's move on. What is the apportionment clause? Well, the 16th Amendment obliterated the apportionment clause. And if you look at, these are three areas in the Constitution that talk about direct taxes shall be apportioned among the several states. That's Article 1, Section 2. Section 8. Duties, imposts, excise shall be uniform throughout the United States. In Section 9, no capitalization or direct or other direct tax shall be laid unless in proportion to the census of the states. Now, what does this mean? This means that, look, we have 50 states. The federal tax that could legally be collected prior to the 16th Amendment had to come from every state in proportion to their population. So let's just say Iowa has 5% of the nation's population. I don't even know if that's true, but let's just say they do, okay? 5% of the federal tax have to come from the state of Iowa. If California represents 40% of the population, 40% of the taxes have to come from the state of California, and so forth and so on, okay? So what does that mean? That means the states are it's up to the states to determine how they're going to raise revenues. And they could do that in a lot of different ways. They could tax your income like they do now. They could tax your property. They could do it through tariffs or excise taxes or any other kind of means they see constitutional to be able to raise the revenue to pay their fair share. Okay, you really want to talk about fair share? We're talking about fair share relative to the population of the United States. Okay. But to pay their fair share to the federal government. So if you think about it, it's the states that were being taxed, not the people, not directly anyway, because direct taxation in this regard was illegal. Okay, so the states were going to pay the tax based on population. Sounds great. Not until you look at the 16th Amendment. And I will move to the next slide. And again, this happened in 1913. It was a very bad year for our country, by the way, because not only was the first year of his presidency, Woody Wilson, I think it was 12, but we had Woodrow Wilson, the father of the progressive movement, who disdained our Constitution. He actually said that our Constitution was the checks and balances in our Constitution was a theory. This guy wanted more power. He created the first federal agency. We're talking about agencies today with President Trump under the executive branch. He created the Federal Trade Commission. He wanted more power in the executive branch. He agreed to the 16th Amendment, which took away the apportionment clause, okay? Which means now that you don't have to apportion the taxes from every state in the nation. It means that Joe Citizen could be taxed based on his income, which is a graduated income tax. The more you make, the more you spend. Now, at first glance, that may sound fair. That may make sense. Hey, you're making more money. You should be able to pay more taxes. That was so against the founding fathers' vision. So also in besides the 16th Amendment, we have the 17th Amendment, in which did away with the rights for representatives to pick their senators. Okay, and we soon after that, had the federal, actually it was the same year, matter of fact, December 23rd, 1913, the Federal Reserve was passed, the Federal Reserve Act, which was done at night on December 23rd when most of Congress was away. They slipped that one in. I have a whole series of episodes on the Federal Reserve and what the damage that has done to our country. But anyway, let's stay focused on the 16th Amendment. The apportionment clause is gone based on this amendment. Everybody is all up in arms today about the 16th Amendment. Congress has no right to tax our income. Well, now they do because there is an amendment to the Constitution that says they can. But however, they always had this. They had always had this ability to tax your income. Article 1, Section 8. Go look it up. Congress had the ability to tax your income prior to the 16th Amendment. The sleight of hand here is that third line where it says without apportionment among the several states and what without regard to any census or enumeration. Okay? That is a key. Now, by the way, just for educational purposes. Back in 1913, when they first passed the 16th Amendment, the income tax was like 2%. And this is the highest marginal rate. It looks to be like about 7 or 8%. Look what happened throughout the history of time and where we are today. What are you guys paying now for taxes? 30, 40? Add state to that, add FICA to that, add Medicare tax to that. At all the different taxes that you guys spend, easily you can exceed 50% depending on what state you live in, okay? And if you really look at all the taxes that you pay on hotel bills, on your car, on your property, on your home, you add up all your taxes, I'll bet you any money you're pretty close to 50%, if not greatly over. Okay. But this is just income tax. This is just income tax. So here we are. This is what happened. And once the tax gets in, the only thing that can happen is it can grow, which, as you can see, it did, along with the spending that we did and provided by the benefit of the Federal Reserve Act, which printed money over the course of time that caused all this great inflation. Remember, the definition of inflation is the expansion of the money supply. The more money that's in the inventory of money in the economy, the less valuable it is. And that's no different than baseball cards. If you have one Mickey Mantle card in the world, it's worth a gazillion dollars, like my grandson said. If you have a million Mickey Mantle baseball cards, well, those cards aren't worth all that much now, are they? Same with tomatoes, same with houses, same with automobiles. Think about it. The more of anything. So that's why your dollar gets devalued when the Federal Reserve prints money. And then we got to pay back that interest to the Federal Reserve. Money that was made out of nothing. A computer-generated entry, when I say printing money. Hey, we're going to add $2 trillion to the economy. And then all of a sudden you say, well, geez, that $10,000 I had in the bank on January 1st can only now buy $9,000 of goods. That's inflation. And you see that in higher prices in the grocery stores and everywhere else that you go. So this is what happens when we allow this kind of thing. Now, let's talk about why this is important. Way back when, I did an episode on the Communist Manifesto. And you got to remember, people like Wilson, J.P. Morgan, who commandeered the whole Federal Reserve, central banking system. You know, Thomas Jefferson was against a central bank for very good reasons. He's also against paper money because of the inflationary aspect of it. If you look at the economy today and how these people like Wilson and many subsequent presidents since FDR, I got to argue almost all of them to some degree, Obama, Clinton, George Bush and George W. Bush, his son, okay, these people love power, okay, and quite frankly, the Constitution got in their way. The checks and balances got in their way. So they created all these agencies. Congress ceded their rights to these agencies, and now these agencies can write regulations that have the power of law, which means that the executive branch now has, you know, law-writing ability, not to mention the Supreme Court and the courts that actually legislate from the bench. So we've got all these violations on this beautiful concept called checks and balances that was put into our Constitution, okay? Obliterated now. So now we're even having trouble with President Trump going court saying you don't have the right to manage the expenses within your executive branch. Crazy. It's absolutely crazy what's going on today. But what I want to bring your attention to is this. Now, the 16th Amendment now, because we got away with the apportionment clause and we now allow the ability to tax individuals, exactly what happened, individuals now are being taxed and you're being taxed on your ability to pay. Now, remember the old communist saying it goes something like to take with your based on your need and to provide with your ability to give, right? Well, this led to the graduated income tax. The more you make, the more you're taxed. I like to say it this way. The more you make, the more you're penalized, okay? Because if you understand the Communist Manifesto and the Marxist agenda, Karl Marx wanted to knock down the wealthy, the bourgeoisie, as he called it, and the proletariats, the working class, were going to take over and take power. That didn't work out very well under Lenin, by the way, because he killed all the proletariats. Anyway, subject for another day. But the whole idea was, hey, the rich are taking from the poor. That's how they got rich. They stole from the poor. It has nothing to do with ability, risk, starting businesses, nothing like that. You took from the poor. So we need to knock you down. And one of the tenets in which to do that under the Communist Manifesto is the graduated income tax. And I'm going to show it to you right now. This comes out of a presentation I did earlier on. These are the 10 planks of the Communist Manifesto. Now, by the way, do yourself a favor and go to Amazon for $6, maybe $10. You can buy a paperback version of the manifesto. It's about an hour or so read. And in the back, they have the 10 planks by Karl Marx and Frederick Engels of the Communist Manifesto. And here they are. Here are the 10 planks of this. You tell me, and this is what this episode's about way back when, about the Communist Manifesto. You tell me every one of these is happening today in our government. Every one of these. But look at number two that I circled here. A heavy or graduated income tax. Remember, we went to war with England, the Revolutionary War, for what, a 1% or 2% tax? Right now, we're sitting at 35%? The top tax rate, not counting state, not counting all the other taxes I described? And we're just saying, hey, that's great. We're not saying it's great, but we're saying, we're not even thinking it's abnormal. And the fact that they now take it out of your pay and you don't have to write the check unless you're self-employed like I am. Every quarter I have to write a check. It hurts. Okay, you really get to see it. But the graduated income tax is one of the 10 tenets of the Communist Manifesto, as you can see here. And that's exactly what the 16th Amendment was all about. You'll never convince me otherwise. That's exactly what these guys were trying to do way back in 1913. Okay? So I'd like to summarize for you. One, Congress always had the ability to tax your income. It's just that they didn't. Until the Civil War. In 1862, Lincoln put a tax in to pay for the Civil War. 10 years later, it got repealed. There was a tax later on by the Wilson-Gorman Tax Act in 1894. And in 1895, the Supreme Court said, nope, it's a flat tax, and you can't have a flat tax because of the apportionment clause. A lot of people today say, hey, we want a flat tax. Well, technically, a flat tax would have been illegal, unconstitutional, prior to the 16th Amendment. You know, when I was running for Congress, people would say, what do you think about the tax, the flat tax? And all my opponents would say, yeah, I'm for the flat tax. Are you kidding me? I'm not for any income tax. I think it's the most unfair tax there is, number one. But number two, if you're going to talk about taxing my income, I'm first going to want to talk to you about how much we're being taxed. Because I made the comment, I said, hey, what if your flat tax was 70%? You ever think about that? Everybody thinks a flat tax is going to be a lower number. Well, you saw the chart. You saw the chart I just showed you earlier relative to what happened to this 2% tax over the course of, 70, 80, 90 years. It just keeps going up. Okay? So no, absolutely not. I'm not for any kind of income tax. I'd love to go back to tariffs and excise taxes, maybe a national sales tax, whatever it may be, a consumption tax. Because remember, close to 50% of the people today in the U.S. do not pay tax. They don't pay income tax. So how ever is a politician going to get elected to say, I'm going to cut the size of government. I'm going to reduce spending. I'm going to take waste out. First thing people are thinking is, hey, my bennies are going to get cut. I can't have that happen, right? Why would they vote for him? It's not their money. It's not their money, okay? So my prediction is this. I predict that President Trump is going to make a pitch to eliminate the income tax, to eliminate the Internal Revenue Service. And by the way, these taxes are also on corporations. When I keep talking about income taxes as their personal taxes, okay, these taxes are also on corporations too. So the 16th Amendment applied there as well, all right? But anyway, I think President Trump is going to make a pitch to eliminate the income tax, eliminate the Internal Revenue Service, and drive our revenue from different sources, whether it be tariffs, excise taxes, whether it be a national sales tax, a consumption tax, I don't know what, a value-added tax, which would be a lot more fair, okay? A lot more fair. And if you think about the big cry against tariffs today, people say, we're going to have to pay higher prices because of tariffs. Not even thinking about the supply and demand curve that prices are going to even out. Okay. And they look at tariffs in a very isolated way. Whenever there's something going on in the economy, you've got to look at all the ramifications around it. Okay. So here's my question to you. Would you opt for an alternate type of tax like tariffs, sales tax, income, and eliminate the income tax altogether? If you're paying 40% or 30%, let's say, you mean to tell me that a tariff is going to cost you 30% more of your income on an annual basis because prices rose up? There's no way. There's absolutely no way. Because the taxes now are going to be spread out. I mean, ideally, I like to see the 16th Amendment appealed, but I am so afraid to invoke Article 5 of the Constitution and go to a convention of states where we open up the Constitution and end up with a document that's unrecognizable, whether it be gun rights, whether it be control of your language or your speech, your free speech, First Amendment rights, whether it violates further our states' rights. I am deathly afraid of Article 5, okay? I would love to see the 16th Amendment go away altogether and go back to the apportionment clause where the states are responsible for raising revenue to give to the federal government on some periodic basis, whether it be quarterly or whatever, okay? And take the burden off the American citizen and let them flourish. The income tax has held us down for the longest time. It's not going to get better. The last administration with Biden, he was talking about taxing unrealized capital gains. And a lot of people don't even understand what that means. Let me give you an easy example. You buy a house for $500,000. The market explodes and your house goes up to $600,000 in terms of market value. Even though you didn't sell your house, you have to come up with the taxes on that $100,000 appreciation. That's all paper. And now you're going to get into how do you value your property. By the way, your car is your jewelry. Unrealized capital gains is what this guy wanted to do. That would have just killed the economy. Okay. I can't believe they're that stupid. I really believe that they are intentional about what they do. But where would you, let's just say your tax rate's 30% and your house does go up $100,000 in 1 year, which is not too unheard of, right? Where are you going to come up with the $30,000? Okay, number one. Number two, what happens after you pay that $30,000? Your house declines back to $500,000 again. Are you going to get a credit back from the government? Good luck figuring that out. Lots of luck. Okay. So the income tax to me is unconstitutional for the following. Now, technically it's constitutional because we have an amendment. Okay. I got all that. But if you're an originalist with the Constitution, and go back to the framers of what the framers envisioned, this apportionment clause was not put in by accident. They knew exactly what they were doing. Okay. And this is before the Communist Manifesto. They knew how tyranny worked. And they knew that one way to bring down a nation was to bring it down economically. And by the way, we are in the midst of that right now. And that's happening as we speak. And there's one guy right now that I can see is trying to prevent this, and that's President Trump. But if you notice the backlash that he's getting, there's a lot of money to be made in tyranny. And the people that are pushing back about cutting the size of government are the people we should look at first, okay? Because there's a lot of, you know, behind the scenes transactions that are going on that are well below the surface of what you're seeing on the news. When they say, you know, we just spent $2 million on gender studies in Ghana or something like that. There's a lot more transactions after that $2 million check was cut. Okay. Trust me on that. And I think that's what people are afraid of. And we as Americans need to understand exactly where our money's going. And if there is corruption, that corruption needs to be called to the table and prosecuted. See, the income tax is an unbelievable way to hide money, to manipulate voters, do all kinds of things. And all due respect, President Trump did it too. Hey, we're not going to tax tips for waitresses and waiters. Think about it. As much as I love President Trump, I didn't like that. I did not like that. I didn't like that he used the income tax code to do that, okay? Now, most people who get tips in cash anyway don't report them. I got a problem with that, all right? But it's a subject for another day. But remember, there's nothing fair about the income tax. I remember taking my first tax course in college, and my professor said, why does somebody who's blind get an exemption? Back then, you get an exemption if you're blind. But somebody with no arms or no legs doesn't get an exemption. He said, you want to know why? Because the lobby for the blind is so strong in Congress, and there's all kinds of payoffs going on. That's why that's in there. Okay? So when you look at something that's really screwy when it comes to the tax code, don't for one minute think it was done with any kind of logic relative to what you would, you know, deem as common sense. Follow the money. Okay. So I'm going to stop it here. Episode 42. I wanted you to understand the 16th Amendment. I hope my wishes do come true with President Trump. In fact, that he is going to push to repeal the income tax and the IRS, which, by the way, just another little subject on the IRS. When they come after you and want to investigate your tax records, and there's no evidence that you did anything wrong, isn't that a violation of our constitutional rights? I thought there's something called search and seizure. Okay? Think about that. Okay? It's all asked backwards. Until next time, Mark DeLuzio, episode 42. Thanks for everything. And keep plugging away. Thanks.
Thanks for listening to the Constitution Solution, one podcast under God. The Constitution is the solution to most of our country's problems. Other episodes can be found on our website at 1787solution.com, YouTube, Rumble, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and most other podcast platforms. I'm your host, Mark DeLuzio. Until next time, may God bless you, may God bless America, and may America bless God.